An attacker with a knife went on a rampage in Taipei, killing three people and injuring five others. The man subsequently died during a police chase after falling from a building. Taiwan Premier Cho Jung-tai says the man had set off smoke bombs in Taipei's main train station before running to a nearby subway station in a busy shopping district. Along the way, he attacked people. His motives remain unknown at this point as investigations get underway.
The attack took place at 5:30 p.m. local time. That's when a lot of people were getting off work. So there was a lot of people in the train station. A male suspect was seen throwing around smoke bombs at the Taipei main station. It's the biggest MRT station in Taipei. So you can imagine there are a lot of people that were traveling on the train and in the station when this incident happened. Of course, it caused a lot of panic, but the attack only happened after he fled to the nearby Zhongshan station, where he started to stab people randomly. And several people have been injured and some in critical condition. And of course, police later have hunted down the suspect, but he reportedly fell off a building.
Meanwhile, Australia is toughening its gun laws in the wake of Sunday's attack at Bondi Beach, one of the worst mass shootings in the country's history. The New South Wales government is set to introduce rules that will significantly tighten the use of such weapons. If passed, the state will have the toughest firearms laws in the country. State Premier Chris Minns has described these measures as one of the toughest gun laws in the country. Under the proposal, there will be a cap of 4 firearms per licensed holder, and access to certain types of guns will be limited or completely banned. Magazine capacities for some firearms will be reduced. Officials are also restricting public gatherings during, I quote, what they call high-risk times, which includes a terrorist event. And for more on how the public can protect themselves in the event of an attack, we're joined by Tony Loughran, who is a director and founder of Zero Risk International, which is a global risk consultancy. Tony, great to have you with us. Now, we've just heard the latest of a stabbing attack in Taipei, in the metro, just a few days after the Bondi Beach shooting on Sunday. Given Singapore's security environment, what are the more plausible threats that we might encounter in public spaces?
Look, I think Singapore has actually kind of done a lot to start kind of counter terrorism measures anyway, to make sure that individuals can't run amok. But what really is the main case anyway is making sure that that the people can't actually be radicalized. Okay, and this is the big issue now. Really, is the lone wolf attack. As we saw from Taipei, that the actual individual with the smoke bombs setting them off, causing distractions, and making sure at the end of the day that they were going in to actually start doing a stabbing attack. That is probably more like what you will face in Singapore as what we would do in Australia because of our particular kind of weapons and because of our other particular access to other offensive objects.
Yeah, and given Singapore's strict gun laws, are there realistic pathways for a firearm to be deployed here? And also, are there warning signs that will appear early on?
Yeah, you can never, ever rule out the actual fact that firearms can be infiltrated. I mean, we only look at our shores, really. And we've got countries here that that have semi-automatics and automatics actually pushed into the area. And the problem we've actually got is that we can license weapons within Australia, but there are illegal weapons that can actually come in from various other sources. So border control in Singapore is extremely important for Malaysia and different other areas as well to make sure that you can thwart any additional weapons coming through. But of course, you know, Singapore is very good from a technology point of view. And what we're looking at the moment now is laser guns. So things that can be made, kind of homemade weapons as well, could cause a concern, really, because it has the potential. You've got the potential to actually kind of manufacture something within your country, as we do. So gun laws are brilliant, okay? But at the end of the day, you could end up with something that could be made on your doorstep.
Now, Taipei, like Singapore, is a dense city. What locations in particular create the highest casualty risk in your view, and why?
I think you've just shown one, to be honest with you. You've actually got the underground, the metro, the trains, the MTR kind of stations as well, where you've got what we call the gold target for a terrorist is to actually have that condensed kind of area where everyone meets. Sporting events. We've actually got cricket on right now for the Ashes, and you know, that's actually being kind of, you know, produced in various kind of cities around Australia. So and areas of worship where there's a congregation of individuals that are coming together collectively to worship, and that could be attacked. And so what we're looking at really is the dense crowd situation. So anything, you know, like ferries. Even the likes of the boats that you have, like, you know, within your canal system or your river system, I should say, that promotes tourist activity, where individuals come on and pay their money to actually go up and down, like Clarkie and different other places where you've got high density of tourists.
Now, Tony, in the event of an attack, people often talk about a freeze response. What does freezing actually look like in real incidents? And are there simple cues that can help people regain movement and also critical decision making?
That's a very good question, Angela. I think that what tends to happen is it's the flight and fright and fear kind of situation actually hits you. The adrenaline starts to surge through your body. And on a small proportion, I think what happens is it's the actual sheer disbelief that something's happened. So what they tend to do is to actually kind of, you know, be caught in the headlight and really kind of can't get their way past that. And what we teach in our training courses really is how to actually be able to push yourself beyond that. Because but basically you can do certain things. You can actually have meditative skills where you can actually kind of push yourself into a very small trance. But then go for it, you know, go really hard and fast to actually survive and push yourself beyond the particular problem. It's also a matter of actually having people around you that are equally as trained so they can spot the actual problem. If somebody is frozen in time, that they can snap them out of it and actually lead them to safety, really.
And in such a challenging situation, how do you communicate quickly to family and friends or even colleagues in those first crucial moments of the attack without also causing more confusion or panic, which then wouldn't be very helpful?
So what we've developed over 8 years, we've developed a security app, and this app itself has been deployed over all of the actual kind of stories so far to do with terrorism. And the individual can download the app, and what happens is you can actually, as soon as you know that you're safe, as soon as you know you're in a certain position or whatever, as we've said anyway, that, you know, our particular mantra is to drop and get cover as soon as possible. You don't run. Okay. Running is kind of foolish at the moment, is that because you end up with, you know, potentially being stampeded as well, but you actually have overall awareness. And as soon as you've got cover and you're in that cover, what you can do is you can either press check in that you're okay on the app, or you press emergency help. So we then have a track on your particular location. So anywhere that you are taken to or where you're going to, where you're injured, we can actually get help to you around the globe. It's been incredible that we've actually been able to rescue people and make sure that their particular loved ones know that they're safe as well. And that goes for everybody. It's not just businesses that actually kind of sign up to our services. It's individual tourists as well who are actually in Singapore doing their own particular thing and enjoying the actual Singapore way of life.
Some very useful tips there. Tony, thank you so much for that. That was Tony Loughran, who is a director and founder of Zero Risk International.